The Office of Personnel Management is rolling out the 2014 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. If the numbers from last year hold this year, federal job satisfaction will be as bad as it's ever been, and other research indicates young people are apprehensive at best about even coming into government in the first place. Alan Davidson's Vice President and Director of Technology Policy and Strategy for the Open Technology Institute at the New America Foundation. He moderated a panel of experts this week that looked at the federal technology talent deficit. Alan, it's great to have you on the program. Congratulations on your event. What would you say your major takeaway was from this event about some of the reasons and remedies for this talent, technology talent deficit in government, Alan?
Well, I think the starting point is that we definitely have a technology talent gap when it comes to government and civil society outside of government that is part of our decision-making processes here in Washington. And, you know, there are a lot of different reasons for that. Part of that has to do with how we recruit and retain great technical talent in government. It's hard when we're competing with the private sector. We have a great mission, but part of it is about really trying to figure out how to recruit and especially retain those people. But part of it is really cultural at its heart. And that has to do with the way that government operates, the way that people perceive government operating, and the need to think about how to make the interest in public policy and the mission of government part of what a lot of technologists want to do.
Your topic, I think, is particularly timely, Alan, because HR specialists inside the government, the federal government, and inside the technology shops of the government tell me that contrary to what they've thought for a number of years, which is we have all these employees who are ready to retire and they're going to retire and we're going to have this retirement wave, they're not leaving. They like their jobs because they buy into the missions, as you just talked about, and they are healthy because they've enjoyed the federal health benefits program over the years, and they are healthier than they've ever been as folks get older. And so they're not leaving in the numbers that people thought, although the agencies want to reshape their workforces and bring in new capabilities to bear to deal with the technology revolution. So this is an issue for the first time I think we're seeing either three or four generations of people working together in the workplace inside the federal government. What are the implications of that for being an organization that's appealing to somebody who's 30 when they realize that they will be working with people, especially in the technology field, who have been in that same organization for 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years?
Well, you know, it's going to be a challenge, right? I mean, I think a lot of the people who are coming in out of these technical disciplines, they imagine themselves working in these very agile and nimble places. Now, there is a lot to offer in the terms of being part of a broad mission, a compelling mission, part of a team that has a lot of experience. But I think what it shows is that we're going to have to do two things. We're going to have to both bring in great new talent and also help people who are in jobs figure out how to be more innovative and embrace new technologies so that we're able to deliver services the way that people expect them to be delivered now.
And that's another issue that I think the government is finally starting to get its arms around, but is still struggling with at times, and that's the changing expectations of the citizens who are receiving whatever services they're providing. I still see a lot of conversations about providing services via call centers, and the number of people that actually call the call centers is falling on an ongoing basis, and people are using the internet more. And that's just a very basic one, and there are some more complex ones. How does that impact the ability of the government to make its case to these folks on an equal footing? And what are some of the benefits that they can present? What are some of the pluses they can present vis-a-vis, you mentioned the private sector, Silicon Valley, and so on?
Well, listen, I think the fact is that there are a lot of people in the technology world who are excited about the possibilities for government now, right? Because technology is actually reshaping the whole relationship of people with their government, right? People now expect different kinds of services. They expect a more innovative government. They are more online. They're more connected. And so they want government to do that too. And I think there are a lot of people, in Silicon Valley. I certainly see this as I teach classes up at MIT, and I see this among the student body up there. People are excited about being part of that change. That's the pitch we need to make to this new group of people. And it's not just people coming out of school. It may also be mid-career people who've had real experience as developers or in running operations in big technology companies. We need to make the case to them that this is an exciting time to come in and help reshape the way that government is offering services.
Alan Davidson of the New America Foundation is my guest, and my colleague Mike Causey, who's been following the federal government since, like, the Quincy Adams administration, it seems, has said on a number of occasions that the average age of a new hire in the federal government is higher than it's ever been in its history. So I think it's right that you point out that it's not just hiring students right out of college. The number of mid-career people who are joining the government's greater than ever. The attraction to them is fascinating to me because we see survey after survey that indicates that people in, they're called the millennial generation,
right,
the age group there, are more interested in service for the sake of service as a career than anybody since the baby boomers. And the idea of coming into government should be, you would think, in that context, tremendously appealing. Did you explore at your event this week what some of the holdups are and why that doesn't seem to translate to them, why they might be as inclined, if they're interested in service, to go to work in, say, academia or at an NGO or some kind of a nonprofit organization rather than coming into either a federal, state, local government?
We did talk about this at great length, and I think there are a couple of big takeaways. One is that we need to work on the culture within government to make it more tolerant of the kinds of ways that technically savvy millennials work these days, right? And that includes being more tolerant of risk-taking, more open to agility and innovation, and to look for ways to show people that they can explore that way within government. And that's hard to make those kinds of cultural changes. I think another piece of it is really the talent pipeline coming in. And this is something that we really need universities to do, and other places where people get trained, which is to show technologists, to expose them to what government does and help them understand that there's a path, that includes fellowship programs, things like the Presidential Innovation Fellows that the White House has started, programs like that that expose more folks to the fact that government is actually a place where they can get things done and that can be really meaningful in their lives. And that's a big challenge for us, but more of those kinds of opportunities for people to get involved and seed this broader community of people who will come to government.
Do you think the federal government does a great enough job, Alan, of selling the uniqueness that it has to offer? I mean, people are at very young ages are doing things that they would either never do or never do as quickly as they're doing in their federal careers.
I have seen the short answer to your question is no. I don't think we do a good enough job selling it, and partly that's because a lot of, you know, people don't have the experience in it. And, you know, culturally, I think our country has changed a little bit in terms of its relationship and the kind of reputation that government has. But I have seen, I was going to say, particularly with students that I've worked with, when they get the chance to be, to come to Washington or some, or work in a city or in a state government, see the kinds of differences that you can make, I think that's going to be very compelling to people in this generation. And they want to make a difference, and this is a good place to do it. We just need to give them more opportunities to experience it and tell their friends.
I hope your event went well, and I appreciate you coming on to talk about it. And we'll link to information about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth Alan. Thanks for your time today.
Sure thing. Thank you.